All right. Hello, my friends. It's time for another episode of Crypto Over Coffee, and it's been a while. But today in this show, we're going to talk about the narratives that I'm going to be focusing on in 2024 that I think could drive the bull market. Now, this isn't going to be an exhaustive list, just a few that I think I want to point out, actually five, in fact. And I'm also going to talk about two narratives that I think you should probably be a little bit more careful with that I think have some issues. So there'll be a lot of stuff we talk about in the show. This is going to be the primary focus, but we're also going to talk a little bit about the Ledger drama around crypto wallets. I'll give you some alternatives and I'm going to answer some questions. It's the first show back, so let's go ahead and dive in. And as always, got a cup of coffee in hand, so if you want to drink one with me, please do. All right, so in terms of narratives, now, if we talk about narratives, narratives are what drive a lot of the allocation of funds in the crypto markets. And if you look at past bull markets, you can kind of fit most of the things that blow up. You're talking about the 5x, 10x, 25x, 50x, 100x coins usually fit into a handful of narratives. In the past, we've had, winding it all the way back to the 2017 to 2019 era, one of those early narratives was around DeFi and ICOs, of course. Now, DeFi, though, was just coming into its own at that time when the floor kind of fell out. And then you saw in 2021, when we had this massive bull market, the maturity of DeFi. You had DeFi springing up all over the place, Solana, Avalanche, Phantom, Ethereum, and you had lots of money being made, lots of money being lost. That was a huge narrative of that 2021 bull run. You know, you look at other areas of the market like NFTs, where I think we had a huge explosion in 2021, but not very much maturity. This is the type of thing that I think about when I look at narratives. And going into 2024, there are some new and some old, and you'll start to see that as well. I mentioned it just now with DeFi. You will often have an immature narrative, something that just started, that was gaining a lot of excitement, maybe even a lot of money flowed into this particular area of crypto in one bull run, but you don't really see that maturity. It kind of dies off. People think it's gone, it's never coming back. And then the next bull run, it's like straight up. That's one of the big narratives of that next bull run. And I think we're going to have some of those here. So I'm going to break this into two categories. Narratives that are newer that I think will gain a lot of traction, but may not fully realize their potential in 2024, 2025, as well as some older returning narratives that I think are going to continue to play out and start to see some maturity. Let's start with the old ones that I think are coming back, ones that I think are going to be still relevant in this new bull run. Now, I'm actually going to give you three here, so we might end up with six narratives that I'm looking at, because one of these kind of goes together. The first one is this L1, L2 narrative. Now, people are going to be like, well, this is way older than just this last bull run, and that is true. But we saw this explosion in the number of layer one chains and layer two protocols in that last bull run. Just in the Ethereum ecosystem, you had Polygon launching a layer two formally in ZKEVM. You had Optimism, Arbitrum, all kinds of different options for people that are trying to escape gas fees on Ethereum. You had also layer two types of technologies in other places or competing layer ones with lower fees. Just in the EVM space, you had stuff like Phantom, for example. You had people diving headfirst into Avalanche. And then, of course, you have non-EVM chains, non-Ethereum compatible chains like Solana that, given all of their controversy, really did do well in the last run and will likely do well in this one. Of course, then you have other chains that are even more contentious like Cardano, which you know I'm a fan of, especially from a technological perspective, that really just scratched the surface on really feature completeness in their blockchain in the last bull run. So the layer one, layer two narrative is still not played out. There's a reason for that. It's because we haven't really found the handful of winners that we will have going forward longer term. This particular 2024-2025 era for crypto is going to be, in my opinion, the pivotal time where you start to see winners and losers in this L1, L2 space? Will Ethereum remain king? Will the EVM ecosystem remain king? Will there be brand new layer one chains that we have never seen before coming forward and becoming a prominent place where volume happens for DeFi or for NFTs? I personally believe that we are going to see an intense niche down or specialization of specific ecosystems or specific layer one and layer two chains to specific use cases. There will be chains for gaming, there will be chains for NFTs. Maybe those will work together a little bit. You'll have chains that are focused exclusively on DeFi and on some of the other narratives that I'm going to talk about. So I'm not going to give those away. But specialization is something that I'm looking at, where blockchains aren't trying to do it all, but they're trying to make their feature set and their decision making tailored towards specific use cases. Now, I mentioned another one of these older narratives that I think is going to come back. And this one is one that may be somewhat controversial for some people, but I think that it has legs, and that is gaming and GameFi. And these are both basically the same thing. It's really the revolutionizing factor for games, which is that you have to have a really strong game itself. People like to play games. Increasingly, people are playing social-based and mobile-based games, especially in Asia, for example. And a lot of these games are just missing a couple of critical elements to give them staying power. One, that is, it's difficult to build an ecosystem around your game where you can move resources, so points or in-game currencies or what have you, items from one game to the other. And it is also very difficult to create a thriving, long-term in-game economy. And you've seen this in classic MMORPG games in history, stuff that I grew up on, RuneScape, for example, World of Warcraft. These in-game economies are very much real to a lot of people. They don't necessarily have real-world value, you would say, at least at this point in time, and that would come through crypto gaming. But these were fun games, engaging games, where you had almost like real-life like economic behavior, crashes of economy, items becoming scarce and becoming worth a lot inside of a game. And a lot of these things are going to start to play out in real currency, basically. So you'll have crypto and NFTs being used across different games. Now, I think this definitely has legs. The problem is that a lot of hardcore gamers do not like this idea at all, which surprised me at first, but I actually understand why. Because if you look at the last cycle, a lot of games were trying to force crypto and force NFTs in an immature state into games and taking the focus away from what gamers really want, which is a fun game that is not focused on pay to win and that is not focused on playing to earn. And I get that. So I don't know that play to earn is going to be the primary mechanic. I do think that it will be part of a lot of games going forward, but it's going to have to be done in a way that does not take away from the gameplay piece. So you see games like Star Atlas, for example, Illuvium, who are building quality games that just happen to have digital assets like NFTs and crypto involved. And I think that is going to be what turns the tide, but also a generational change. The majority of people playing games are going to be those who are naturally or more natively familiar with the idea of digital assets. The Fortnite generation and the generation after them are much more friendly towards this type of thing than the traditional hardcore gamer that we have today. So it's going to be a change in the gaming population as well that drives this. And I mentioned that there's one more older narrative that I think fits into this mix, and that's really part of gaming, because I think a primary driver of what makes this particular narrative compelling is gaming, and that is NFTs. Now, I have a bit of a mental block with NFTs, and that's putting it lightly, because I think in some ways NFTs in the last cycle were the easiest and fastest way to extract money from people who don't know what they're doing, and that really bothers me, because I think that NFTs, for all of their potential and NFTs for all of their value in terms of an innovation, were used as almost a big scam in 2021. And there are a lot of people who love NFTs, and I'm not saying digital art is not a thing. I'm not saying that NFTs are bad. I'm saying that NFTs did not realize their potential in that last cycle because the use cases that they were applied to did not fully take advantage of what I think they could be. My hope is, my thought is that in this particular cycle, you will have NFT art, you will have the drops, and you will have the mints and all of that. But I actually think you'll see NFTs becoming a part of other aspects of crypto, other aspects of applications and use cases. And I think that's where they thrive. You'll likely see more brands launching NFTs. You'll likely see games launching NFTs. And you will also very likely see different organizations using NFTs as a component of blockchain technology to solve some of the problems that we're seeing in terms of AI-generated content. We very well could see that. More on that, more on the whole AI thing in just a second. Now let's talk about some of the new narratives, some of the things that we haven't really seen much of yet, but I think could really be a talking point in 2024 through to 2025. And the first one of those is the real-world asset tokenization space. Now, this has been something that's been talked about for a long time. There have been companies working on this for a long time, and there have been some that have been more successful than others. What I don't think we've had is I don't think we've had space in the regulatory conversation for sure, but I don't think we've had space and maturity in the technology in order to make this really happen at scale. But now you're seeing real-world asset tokenization start to become a conversation at the highest levels of finance. You're seeing people actually executing and doing this for real. You've had hundreds of millions of US treasuries, for example, being traded in a tokenized format. And I have a feeling you're likely going to see tokenization of commodities, metals and stuff like that, homes, so real estate tokenization. You're going to see all kinds of different tokenization happening and starting to blend their way into DeFi as well, which is an interesting concept from a liquidity perspective, but also something where I think if you were investing in the technology behind this or protocols that make real-world asset tokenization achievable, it could be beneficial, right? Now, again, I'm not naming specific coins because I know if I name specific coins, people will go buy them. And that's not really the intent of what I do here. I'm giving you the ideas that I think are going to be compelling. And you can go and find things that you think make sense. If you would like me to, I will make a video that talks about some of the things that I'm looking at, some of the specific coins that I'm looking at. But it will be with heavy caveats that you could lose all your money because I'm putting the risk in. As would you. Now, the other narrative here that maybe we started to just scratch the surface on in 2021 and into 2022, but I don't think really had its day, is SocialFi, or the confluence of this particular field that we're in, this technology that we use every day, and social media. I've started to see the demand for this, and that was what was missing before. Not only was the technology not ready from a scalability perspective, I was unconvinced that the average person who uses social media would want any of the features that SocialFi would offer, decentralized social media. But seeing what's happened with Twitter, now X, and seeing that very likely features related to digital assets and crypto are going to come to X natively, I think this could be the time where SocialFi starts to blow up. Now, I caveat that by saying a lot of social media, established social media platforms, tried to incorporate some of these features in 2021 and 2022, mostly around NFTs, and those were heavily mixed. Actually, most of them have backed away from offering these in the first place and no longer have those features in their apps. So I think what will have to happen is complete shift of ethos within social media for this to actually take hold. I don't think you're going to see existing social media platforms, with the exception of maybe X and maybe Reddit, really do this and execute it properly where they can change course. You'll likely see brand new social media platforms exploring the space. This is the one that I'm the least confident out of the ones I'm sharing with you, because there are still issues in the back of my mind with how this would actually play out and whether the average person would in fact want this. But it's still something that I'm going to be watching because I think it really could be significant. And the last one is more in the technology space, which, as you know, is where I like to play the most, and that is zero knowledge technologies. So zero knowledge proofs, ZK rollups. This particular bull run, in my opinion, is going to be where this technology reaches maturity. And I'm not saying everyone's going to understand it, because they won't. And I'm not saying anyone's going to care, because they probably won't. Very few people will care or understand this, but zero knowledge technologies in general are going to start to permeate every single area and almost every single narrative, whether it's using a ZK based rollup or ZK technology in general for your actual day-to-day functional use on an L2, for example, so DeFi. But there are many other use cases where I can see this being applied. And I also see in the real world asset space for tokenization, large financial institutions and potentially brand new organizations creating their own ZK-based chains using something like Polygon's Chain Development Kit to actually start diving into this space. So I think ZK is another area to watch. And now it's a little less straightforward to just be exposed to ZK coins, right? Because that's not really what I'm talking about. But it's being a benefactor of being in places where zero knowledge is already prevalent. There's lots of that in the Ethereum ecosystem, and there's likely to be even more of it starting to pop up elsewhere. Honorable mentioned Algorand as well, because they've been piloting and been proponents of ZK for a long time. So we'll give them that shout out. Now, even more interestingly, I think these are all things that I think could do well, but there are other ones that I think are not scammy, but are bordering on that, and that I don't think have legs personally, or that I think there's undue risk in. So I'm going to talk about those, but I also want you to be mindful. Those three old narratives and three new ones that I shared with you are not an exhaustive list, just a few that are top of mind for me right now. I'll definitely do an update video on some other narratives that I'm watching here in the next couple of weeks. Now let's move on to the bad ones, the ones that I think are going to have a tough time. And I'm not saying no one's going to make money in these, because frankly, we know how crypto works. Even if something doesn't have legs, you can make money in it. So I'm not saying don't touch it. I'm saying be careful. And the first one of those is AI, artificial intelligence, the hottest possible topic right now. And that is the very reason why I think people need to exercise extreme caution. Fundamental process that happens in this space is, as sort of the venture capital machine spins back up, as people try and get funding for their project, they are encouraged to bring the hot thing into their pitch deck so they can get funded, okay? You're seeing that with AI. VCs are throwing money at AI right now, and that encourages crypto projects who don't need to use AI at all or who are not adept with AI to start to talk about it and pitch this AI coin. I'm also unconvinced that AI itself, as a technology and as a field of practice, needs a token for pretty much any use case. I can think of very few, maybe as utility for the actual compute resources in a community model, pay to generate results for something like a generative AI response for video or for image. Maybe you could argue that. You could also argue maybe that the output of these generative AI models becomes something that you need proof of provenance for and authenticity for. NFTs could play a factor, but I really don't think you need utility tokens for a lot of these AI use cases. And so I would exercise extreme caution and please have some skepticism when people are pitching their next AI coin. And I would also look at it from the lens of, does this particular AI concept even make any sense? Because I've seen some out there already that I look at and I think to myself, there's very clearly very little understanding of what AI actually is and what you can do with AI and what already exists out there in the market today in this pitch for this coin. So please exercise caution with AI. There are exceptions. There are some interesting projects out there in this AI space, but please be careful. And the other one that I think is somewhat similar, not necessarily because it's overhyped, but because I'm not sure that because it's so controversial that it will survive. And that is this, I would call it broadly Bitcoin assets, but we can talk about it specifically like the BRC20 tokens. So fungible tokens built using the extra memory space or extra block space in Bitcoin, basically, or space in transactions. Now, you have this NFT side of it, which is ordinals and BRC20, more fungible tokens. This is the center of a lot of controversy right now in the Bitcoin space, and that's part of the reason why it's very risky. You don't know, A, if this is going to survive. I have a feeling that this battle about whether or not you should be allowed to put arbitrary data or how much arbitrary data you can put onto the Bitcoin blockchain could result in a hard fork. And a hard fork is contentious and difficult to navigate and can often get investors caught up in kind of a mess. And we've never had a hard fork situation where people are investing in fungibles and other tokens outside of the native BTC. And that scares me a little bit because I have a feeling people could start to get burned really badly on this. The other one is that I don't think that there's a whole lot of scalability behind this because of the reasons that I've already mentioned. There's limited block space and there's controversy about how healthy this is for Bitcoin in general, this concept of inscriptions and how you generally facilitate ordinals and BRC20s. All of this being said, people are already making money with BRC20s. People are making money off of bridges. I think Multibit is a bridge and there are other bridges. I forget, there's another bridge that I was just looking at, like Ord Bridge, maybe it was, that are really focused on bridges from other L1s and Bitcoin and back and forth for these specific tokens. So I'm not saying you can't make money from them. I'm just saying you need to be very careful because when you're at the center of controversy and when you have something that's relatively untested, you're kind of putting yourself at risk. So just be very careful with this Bitcoin asset space. But before I get to questions, I also wanted to talk a little bit about the ledger drama of late. And people were asking me, it kind of brings me to the Q&A. People were asking me a lot over the last few days, you know, hey, Shoshi, you know, what do you think about this Ledger situation? Do you still recommend Ledger? Are Ledger wallets secure? And this is a really complex question. And I will try and break it down in a couple of ways. So one of the videos that I made this year, and it was very limited, just health reasons, and I won't go into all of it, but one of the videos I made this year was about the Ledger feature that was launched around sort of backups and letting you have custodial backups of your seed phrase for your funds. And people were really upset about this. And I was basically laying out that when you use a hardware wallet, you are placing trust assumptions with the hardware manufacturer, the supply chain that they use, and a lot of the software development that they're doing to support that wallet. And so therefore, even in a world where the terminology is very focused on trust but verify, there are a lot of people trusting and not very many people verifying. And that's not necessarily anyone's fault because the technical barrier to verifying on one's own is really, really freaking high. So I understand why. To me, with Ledger, this is a game of trust. And when you're trusting them with your assets because you're trusting their hardware, you're trusting their supply chain, you're trusting their software, this is kind of a three strike situation. The first strike was them trusting a third party and exposing information, personal information, including addresses and email addresses that have exposed a lot of Ledger owners to phishing. Okay, that was mistake number one. And I can forgive that because that's a third party. It's a mistake. You learn from it and you tighten up your OPSEC. The second one is having a complete lack of awareness for their community and a complete lack of awareness for what potential Pandora's boxes they were opening up with this Ledger feature for custodial backups. That was a huge debacle, and it took them a long time to rectify that. And just when I thought they were building back some of that trust, this supply chain attack happens. And supply chain attacks are probably the thing that keeps me awake at night the most in crypto, because so much of the world today is reliant on software packages, reusable modules that are controlled by maybe a small team of developers, maybe one person, maybe they're hardly maintained and people don't check their dependencies enough. They don't audit their dependencies enough. Something gets exploited in there and it gets sucked into your application. Now your users are exposed to it. In this case, this was Ledger's own package that was allegedly manipulated by a former employee or multiple former employees. I'm not certain yet. In order to basically create a wallet drainer, created an overlay over top of the web-based connect flow that you see when you try and connect your Ledger wallet to common decentralized applications like DEXs. And the problem with this is that it affected basically everyone, and that it should have never happened if there were basic procedures put in place to prevent it from happening. There are best practices that were clearly not met here in terms of preventing something like this from happening. And so what this is three instances where Ledger's either not done the due diligence or not had the correct procedures in place to prevent these issues, but also not being connected and not understanding what the demands are from this community. And I think that's where the trust is lost in many ways. Do I think the hardware itself is not secure? No, I actually think it's perfectly fine. I think the hardware is perfectly fine. I think if you're worried about it, then you should switch, because like I said, it's all about trust. If you don't trust Ledger, you should not be using their products. It's that simple. And so that would be my advice to you. If you personally feel that you don't trust Ledger anymore, then you should change. You should shift your wallets to someone else. My recommendation has been for a long time, and you'll remember I was giving a device away every single week on this channel from this company. I've been connected with them for a long time, and I'm not being sponsored to say this, but I think the Keystone wallet is great. I think they're very connected to their community. They know what their users want. They're building the things that their users want, and they're responding to some of the big challenges and the big concerns people have in this space. Working towards open sourcing more and more of their stack so that there's verifiability. They just completed an audit recently. So don't just take my word for it. Go and figure it out. Go take a look at everything related to Keystone. I'll leave a link in the description. And if you like it, pick one up. And if you think, hey, you know what? I want to look elsewhere, more than fine as well. So now that we've talked about that, let me dive into some of the few questions that I got the other day when I tweeted out a request for questions. So here's one that's somewhat topical. How do you feel about Bonk, a meme coin, hitting 1.5 billion market cap at this point in the market? And you know how I feel about it? I feel like this is the free market at its best, right? This is, while I think meme coins are rather ridiculous, I think that I have the utmost respect for the market deciding what they think is valuable and going for it, right? Is it the healthiest for crypto? Maybe not, right? Because for every one person who wins in this zero-sum game, there's thousands of people who lose. And I don't like that. So I think the short answer is I'm torn, but this is just an indicator. Bonk and a lot of the meme coins that are ripping right now are just an indicator of all the repressed fervor for the crypto markets that there are. So now that the tide's starting to turn, you see people deploying capital in large quantities and really driving coins up to insanely fast because of how excited they are. And so I think it's just a sign of what's to come in the future. All right, let's see. What other questions do we got here? All right, thoughts on Phantom, so FTM. Now, Phantom was one that I was quite a fan of in the last cycle, mostly because Phantom was a place where you could really dive into DeFi for basically negligible transaction fees. And as someone who was brought up, I guess, in this space, in the Ethereum ecosystem, that was refreshing, right? And so Phantom, I think, in this particular run, could be one of the places that you see liquidity start to cycle to from, say, an Avalanche, for example. Sorry, I hit the mic. From Avalanche, for example, and DeFi start to make runs. Now, I think it really depends on how much building starts to happen on Phantom in terms of the DeFi space. So that the jury is still out on, but I'm definitely still watching it. All right, let's get, where are we at? We're almost at half hour. So let's get one more, okay? Let's get one more, and I will pick question. Here's a really good one. It's topical and really relevant to this particular video. Is narrative or fundamentals more important, and what projects have both? I'm going to answer the first half of this question because the second half is very subjective. And again, I want to stray away from, at least in this video, naming specific coins. I think that for a project to succeed, it only needs narrative. And that is in some ways annoying to me because I'm a fundamentals person. You know that from all the videos that I've made. I'm a fundamentals person. And so accepting, and that's part of my time away, helped me accept this. Narrative drives everything. However, projects that rise from narrative and survive bear markets are ones with fundamentals. And that is the key. So when you look at the charts and you see a huge pullback, or you see a bear market where everything's down 98%, and you see projects surviving, maybe they weren't down as much. Maybe when resurgence happens in the market and you have a slight return, you see those projects coming back. Or you see projects like these resisting dumps in the market when we start to have a flush. These are some of the things that tell you these are stronger fundamental projects. Now, the problem is that as we move along this space, fundamentals not related to tokenomics and fundamentals related to technology start to fall by the wayside because it becomes more and more complex. We move further and further away from the fundamental technology layers that people don't care as much about anymore. And I won't stop talking about them because that's what I'm passionate about. But more and more people are going to stop caring as much about the technology and the how. And they will stop asking why. It will just work. And that's what we need for mass adoption. So I think right now, to answer your question, narratives drive everything, but the projects that survive and thrive longer term are ones with fundamentals that are strong. So look at things from that lens. If your goal is to make money, narratives are going to be the thing you look at first. But if you'd like to keep that money, then I think fundamentals are very important. So with that, I've talked for 30 minutes, a lot of stuff just off the fly, off the top of my head, things that I'm thinking about after a lot of reflection time. And really excited to be back. It's been a really crazy year, but it's good to be back. Wish I could have made videos this year, but I didn't go anywhere. And I've still been lurking in the space. So you'll be seeing more of me now. Much appreciated for stopping by. Cheers. And please enjoy your holidays with your families. Take care.